This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I take the high road far too often for someone who doesn't smoke weed.
I'm Brandy Posey, and when I die, please put beloved wife and incredible eye candy on my tombstone. Thank you.
I'm Tess Barker, and so I guess at a certain age, you just have allergies every single day, and that is just like who you are as a person.
This is lady to lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and lady, ladies and lady.
Hello! Welcome
Hello. To
the show, everybody.
It's Thanksgiving week. Are you guys feeling grateful?
I am. I'm feeling grateful for you guys. I'm feeling grateful for our amazing listeners. And yeah, I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Feeling grateful for taters. I'm excited.
Feeling good in the eating good in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Feeling grateful for Applebee's, all of the above. Mm-hmm.
Feeling grateful for hoodies and flannels and all of the fall stuff coming back out.
Speaking of hoodies, if you guys love Lady to Lady, or if you know someone who does, we have amazing merch ready for the holidays. We have super cute hoodies, socks for the ant in your life, and we have an exclusive beanie that is dropped for the holidays. So go check out that stuff on our merch store. Oh my God, there's a lot of cute stuff.
And like, also the most important part of holiday shopping is buying stuff for yourself. So get yourself a hoodie.
Get yourself a little something there.
Throw something else in the cart just for you. One for them, one for you. One for them, one for you. That's how it works.
And we are doing our holiday show on December 5th over Zoom. So you can watch it from anywhere. And we're so excited. We did the show last year. We had a super blast. We'll have a mocktail and a cocktail recipe. Our resident hunk will be in tow. We'll have guests. We'll have songs. It's just so much fun. So
outfits. We're going to have cute outfits. I'm guessing we're going to have outfits.
Busting out all the red and green we have in one place.
Yes.
It's a nice reason to get your tree up early if you do a tree, so you can have a little like setup. Use your little Zoom screen. Show it off for us.
Totally.
We love if your animal has an antler it can put on.
Oh my God.
We'll take it.
Show us your menorahs. Show us your everything.
Yeah.
You can see it all.
It's going to be so much fun. So go check out our Twitter and Instagram links for that in our bio. It's going to be a good time.
Hell yeah. Who do we have on the show today, lady?
Oh my God. We have a super funny comic. She used to help me run my show Sauce in LA. And she has a live show called Funnilingus, which is the first Sundays of every month. And her name is Dana Donnelly. So we had a really fun chat with her. And please enjoy us hanging out with Dana.
Oh my God. So excited to welcome our guest today, Dana Donnelly. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. Look, it's early. It's 10 a.m. I'm warming up. These are some of the first words I've spoken all day.
I really like the number of notes you were able to hit in that. It felt auto-tuned, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm doing my vocal warm-up, so I really gotta explore the full range. Yeah, exactly.
What's you guys' favorite vocal warm-up?
Oh,
I think just the classics.
Yeah,
the scales.
Scales are good.
Unique New York.
Unique.
Yeah.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Yeah. Peter Piper.
Yeah. Just think of the beginning of Anchorman.
I had to record something that I was doing a bunch of voiceover for a couple of weeks ago, and I was just walking around my house wearing a blanket and being like, "Mommy made me mash my M&Ms," and my husband was just like looking at me with just like fascination, disgust.
discussed all of the above.
That's your craft, so.
Exactly.
It's the theater, yeah. Baby. What do you want?
We were just talking about everyone's favorite subject, internet trolls, which are just like, they're such a delight. Like, what a, you know, just what a great time to spend your life that way.
Just, oh, absolutely.
You know, being a dick to other people for no reason. I know that, like, you had, you probably don't want to talk about Oven Gate, but I know you had oven. People trolled Dana because she posted a picture next to her oven.
What? Yeah.
What?
Like, this is how deep people go.
Yeah, this is like literally insane. But basically, yeah, like I posted, I didn't think my oven was important. I didn't know my oven would get all the attention. Sure. You know?
Rookie mistake,
I posted
Dana.
This, yeah, I posted this photo of me like sitting on the floor like crying because I had burnt a grilled cheese sandwich. My sister took these photos because I was like sobbing over my burnt grilled cheese.
All right.
So, that's like, totally something my sister would do. Like, oh, you're crying? One sec.
Yeah. Let me take some pictures of this. And I posted these photos and it was like fine for like a couple weeks. Like I didn't, nothing happened. Like people were like, oh, that's funny. She cried over grilled cheese. Yeah. And a couple weeks later, it ends up on some like women posting L's, which is like one of the ultimate troll accounts on Twitter. Oh, it's where this guy takes like screenshots of like girls, women's jokes, like women's jokes that they make about themselves. A lot of times also they're literally jokes. Like you can tell it's like not true. It's a joke.
It's a bit.
And they like post them as an L, like it's a, like this person, like, and then like all the comments are like, ugh, what an idiot. Like what a loser. Women are pathetic. Like whatever.
Oh, no.
So the picture of me crying in front of my oven goes viral on this account in the context of that it's a posted L. Mm-hmm. And then people basically start going, oh my God, that oven is actually a really expensive oven. And then people started making fun of me because like how dare I cry if my oven is expensive.
Oh
yeah, that was the core. Wow. That was the core. Why is she sad? Oven expensive.
Okay, so what was it like being on the receiving end of that? Were you, because I know like we can laugh about it now. It's so easy to laugh, but like it must have been like, were you pissed or were you able to laugh it off?
Were you like hurt or were you just fuck you guys?
No, I literally was just like, fuck you guys. It was like literally also like it was so many, it was mostly guys, but then there was like a couple like real like pick me bitches who were like also going super viral with like their little comments of like, like, I would never cry over burnt cheese or whatever. It's like. I'm like, okay.
You're the queen of the trolls. Congratulations. Oh, you get the cleanest bridge in the land.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, it was literally insane. People are literally so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I had an experience recently where that was today. I'm just like responding to people. Yeah. And then someone was like, well, you know, like it could, we just jumped to conclusions. And I'm like, well, that's the key, is that you could not fucking do that.
Yeah.
That's maybe the key would be to take 2 seconds and think, oh, this is a real human being who lives a life and doesn't need you to come into their living room and scream at them because you made assumptions about who they are.
Also, how about you go fill your own life with something else that is not being obsessed with strangers?
Well, that's just not.
Go jerk off. Jesus Christ.
Yes. There are so many things you could jerk off with too, all over the internet. Like, God. Just go do that instead.
Well, also, like, my favorite is a kind of troll that comes after me a lot too is they have like 5 people that are obsessed with me who are obsessed with telling me I'm not famous.
I had to block someone this morning for that.
Oh my God.
It's like, yeah, I mean, nothing makes me feel more famous than you, a person I don't know, obsessively telling me I'm not.
Just so you know, you're not famous. It's like, also, famous nightmare. Cool. Congratulations. Awesome. We kind of are.
Yeah. Like the second that someone's telling you you're not famous, that's when you've made it. That's exactly. When fame has entered your life.
Yeah, like, that's what's frustrating about it is it's like it's like you're doing well enough that like you have trolls, which means that like you're doing well, but you're not doing well enough to have like, it's not like I'm some fucking person who has a social media man. It's not like I'm not the one seeing these comments. I am the one seeing these comments. So it's just like, okay, you're at a level where people can, you know, there's enough people to attack you, but not that you have to actually never see them again. That's the ideal, is to like not have to deal with it at all.
I always think about Melissa McCarthy because she either doesn't have a phone at all or she doesn't have an iPhone.
But like, she has like a, she has like a Nokia, she's a flip phone.
She has like a, flip phone and she just has a team. She never even like sips her little baby toe on there. Like she wakes
up. That's goals, but she also, she doesn't need to have social media.
Her career's based on
and
that.
I think, I think it is weird when you see people who clearly don't need to have social media having social media and like the way that it usually just like implodes them from within and how like celebrities with social media like fare so much worse than celebrities without social media.
So true.
Oh, for sure. Well, because they're used to their bubble. Yeah. They're used to their bubble too. Just being like, you're great. Congratulations. You're employing all of us, so none of us will say anything bad about you whatsoever. And then they get on and they're like, everybody will love me too. And they're like, oh no.
It's like when Bradley Whitford like tweets and everyone's like, why are you doing this? Like people love you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't.
You know what's funny is I feel like in the celebrity world, it's almost the inverse of the real world where actually like it's the boomer ladies who were crushing it on Twitter, like Cher, Dionne Warwick.
True.
That's who we're here for.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cher Twitter?
Oh. Cher Twitter's iconic.
She'll just be like, where are you? In all caps. It's so good. Did you guys see this? This is, sorry for when this is coming out like a month after we're recording it, but the Travis Tritt, like what the fuck happened there? Did you guys see what happened? Country singer Travis Tritt, apparently he decided he was not going to tour because he didn't want to go to venues that were checking vaccinations or something. But then I also read a weird story where he didn't want to be around everyone because he was worried about getting sick. So he was like being brought onto stage inside of a guitar case or something. I don't. Anyway, maybe I'm the only person who heard about this, but
a lot to there's unpack a lot of there.
Someone else who should not be on the
internet. There's a lot happening. It's perfectly okay to say, hey, I'm feeling anxious about being around a lot of people and I prefer not to tour because I don't have to right now. It's okay just for that to be your truth and not be like,
That's way too vulnerable.
I mean, I know. I always ask too much of everybody all the time.
I just feel like, if we could go back to like fan mail when like if you really wanted to send me a death threat or troll me, you have to put
I've gotten a real life letter.
You have?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I think I must have blocked this person, but someone sent a printed out tweet of mine to my mom's house. To my mom's house.
Oh, Jesus.
With their written response to my tweet.
Oh my
the
Oh
God. No.
That's worse. So never mind.
It's worse. You don't want that.
That is like genuinely terrifying. That's actually like really
it's
scary.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying.
Oh my God. Oh,
God.
I hate it. Ugh. Here.
At least back in the day, it's like the internet's made so much because it's like you couldn't have found your mom's address like back in the day. It would be so hard to track down instead. And at least it used to be like your because remember, even growing up, like the fan address was like the manager or the agent. So like they were really earning their 10% by like having to like filter.
Yeah. Fielding your psycho mail.
I'd love that if my manager would do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, here, please, you get this.
Yeah, can they just be the ones who have to look through
all
these fucking tweets and
like,
shit?
Embarrassing
why the hell do I have
mail
to do it?
To like a Devin Sawa?
I did receive a signed Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy
headshot. So I was
This is so embarrassing.
I loved him in Scream, the first Scream movie. He was like my favorite.
That's
was
cute.
Really,
I like
really
that.
Into it.
No, I had.
Of course, you did, Beth.
God, I had two letters. I had two letters that I never sent, but I found them in an old notebook. And one was to French Stewart.
Friend of the show.
Now, friend of the show. And one was to Steve Buscemi.
Who we saw when we were on Molly.
Who I thought was
No, he
hot.
Is hot.
No,
he is
this
hot.
Was when I was
No,
like
but I'm saying you're friends with French Stewart now. And we saw Steve Buscemi when we were on Molly. So you've met both
of
your...
Oh, we were on Molly. That's true. Okay, then everything...
Well, those letters are manifestations, clearly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 years
exactly.
later.
I'm always writing letters. And then I see the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I've been meaning to, this is not a super exciting story, but I keep forgetting to tell this thing that I saw that happened at the Grand Canyon when I went. We went up to see the sunrise, you know, so we got up super early, like 6 a.m. and we drove out to the main place to see it. And it was like a lot of people and everyone was very quiet because, you know, it's fucking 6 a.m. and you're trying to enjoy the sunrise. But of course, there's two kids who won't shut the fuck up. And so they keep being like, I'm cold. Was it me? I want to go in the car. I'm cold. And so that's like all you can hear because you're not talking, you know. So you can't help but listen to this family's conversation. And so the mom eventually goes, I'm just going to fucking take him to the car, you know. And so she's like taking him to the car. She starts walking away and the dad goes, you know, you're making the wrong choice. Like so, just so loudly. All of us heard it and we're all just staring at
him. Oh, God. I just lost 2 inches on my body when you said that. I felt myself shrink as a person. Yeah, just... Oh, my God.
I was literally just talking about how like, I'm like, like parents take activities on vacation way too seriously.
That's so true.
Yeah, because I was they like, don't these care. Kids don't give a fuck about the sunrise. They don't. I'm sorry.
All you care about is what you're going to eat next, really, when you're a kid.
Oh my God, yeah, literally. I'm like, when am I getting french fries? I literally remember being like, but when are my french fries? Yes, and then we'd go to a restaurant that didn't have french fries and I'd fucking lose my shit.
Yeah, no. Sunset at the Grand Canyon are for you as a woman or a person in your 30s being like, oh, I should have done this with my family when I was a kid. There should be a tinge of regret that you would, because you never would have been into it.
It's like school. Like if I go to school now, I'm like, oh, I appreciate this. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, whatever. As a kid,
it's a circle of life.
Yeah, like it was just so funny. He's like, you know, you're making the wrong choice. And we're all just like, and then he's like, you're just going to teach him to you're just going to teach them to complain. He was like trying to give some dad lesson around 50 strangers.
And that's just so insulting to the mom. And I was like, she's like, bitch, I'm the one that's fucking dealing with this child.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's handling this little kid.
Yeah. Dude, also like, ugh, what a nightmare person.
It was bad. It was really funny. I was like, I would murder this
seriously
man.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's a situation where you just want the whole group just to like follow them to the car and be like, no, you watch the sunset completely alone and we're just gonna
I wish everyone had just turned at the same time and like stared at him. Yeah, it was
well, I hope he enjoyed the sunset by himself, because that's how he'll die someday. Piece of shit. God, I remember the 2 times going out to the Grand Canyon, I remember like seeing 2 teenagers. The guy was carving their initials into a tree and I like rounded a corner and saw it and I was about to scream at them. And then the only good boomer man I've ever seen in my entire life, just he yelled behind me and then he rushed up and dealt with it. And I was like, oh, good. I don't have to be the person to deal with this. Thank you, man with your phone on your hip. I appreciate it. I'm just going to keep walking. You yell at them and tell them that they're awful people. Just like a national park.
Are they still doing phones on the hip?
He had a phone on the hip. A little leather case. I mean, you can still get them at swap meets and stuff.
Dads
so I think...
love an otter case. An otter box?
Oh, yeah. Otter box.
They love otter box. An otter box.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you've never learned how to like process your emotions properly. So you got to spike that phone on the ground every once in a while. And the otter box keeps it safe.
I have this theory though that if you have an OtterBox and you drop your phone a lot, the second that you take your OtterBox off and you drop your phone, it shatters completely. Like, and I feel like that doesn't happen with normal cases.
That's actually a really good point, Dana. Like, I wonder if your phone develops a certain tolerance from having like a $13 case. Yeah.
I'm like, my phone's still completely intact, but the times I've had OtterBoxes and then taken it off, shattered immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because suspicious.
I think when you have like a precarious phone case, you exercise just a smidge of caution.
Yeah, I think so.
Whereas an OtterBox, it's basically a football you've got on your hands.
Yeah, you're kicking it around. Yeah.
I am always a little bit impressed when I see somebody just raw dogging a phone, no case, out in the wild. I'm like, wow, how much money do you have that you just...
Is anyone raw dogging
in the past? I'm not raw dogging, but my case is fucking shitty. Like, it's shitty. It's like a mall case.
You're not raw dogging. You're using the pull-out method.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm using the pull-out method, exactly. I mean, I'm using the rhythm method. I have an app. Just like track it.
Yeah,
I raw dogged it once and it felt awesome and it was addictive. And I think I had that phone for 10 days before it shattered.
Yeah, it's like sleek. Yeah. And then it's a piece of glass that's a hazard.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the last phone I traded in, the guy at the Apple store cut his finger on my phone. Like as he was doing the thing. Yeah.
No.
Because it was so broken. Like my screen was like literally there were pieces of glass hanging off of it.
Have you guys ever had a phone like that and you like are lazy and you don't go to the Apple store, so you're like, I'll just have a broken phone for a few weeks?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's a, oh, a crack across mine right now.
Yeah, girl.
I'll ride those. Yeah, I'll ride it out as long as humanly possible, yeah. Basically.
Tell me.
I'm like that with any technology. I'm like, I will not replace unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah, no, 100%. I will, yeah. Keep, as long as you still work, I refuse. I was, planned obsolescence is a cancer upon society.
Oh my God, it's so annoying. It's so annoying.
I actually read an article yesterday that was pretty like, dismissive and rude actually, but it was about how if you upgrade your phone every 3 years instead of every 1 year, you're saving $12 a month. And what made it annoying is they were like, and that can go into your retirement. And it's like, no, that's gonna go to like sandwiches and weed, but
yeah, right.
Yes,
that's 1.5 coffees in Los Feliz, like, right. Relax. Yeah. Like,
stop dangling a retirement over our generation. Oh, excuse me. Like, please stop being, if you put that $12 away every day and it's just like, bitch, no, it's not gonna happen. We know that. Stop telling us that we're wrong.
If you tell me the amount, $12 a month, I'm for sure never, that's never gonna be thinking in retirement.
I wish it is gas. It is gaslighting to pretend that it is. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Get real. And like, I wish they would just take it. Honestly, if that's the case, fucking take it and don't tell me. Take $12 out of my account, and then when I turn 75, be like, surprise, you're not destitute.
What? Honestly,
you're like, I would love that. Yeah, you're like, do it against my will, then. Like,
Tess, I'm putting you in charge of the IRS. I mean, I think that is, that should be what happens. They just like, surprise, here's a bunch of money.
Well, that was like, I when wish. My parents were married, my mom always tells me this story that my dad would be, she'd be in Vegas with my dad, and he would be on these like gambling benders, and he'd be so like dialed into the poker game or whatever that my mom would just like discreetly scoot chips into her purse. And like, not, he wouldn't notice. And they'd be driving home and he'd be all pissed off. Like, I spent all our fucking money. And she's like, no, you didn't. And then she's like, we still have money.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I need someone there secretly siphoning off the shit that I would spend on dumb shit. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be BRB.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Babs. And we're here with Dana.
Yay.
Okay, we're gonna play a game and ask you some random questions. Here's our exciting theme song.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh my God, I can't, it's just like, that's so random.
So
so freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Not raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My God.
Random.
Wow. You know, I'm DJing a wedding soon. Should I slip some of our songs in there?
Yes.
Yes. I would love it if you did.
Actually, I think they listen to the show, so it would be funny if I did.
This couple doesn't have a lady problem.
It's funny because they like gave me their list, and I, you know, they have like more rock songs, and like I play mostly pop, you know. So I was like, "Fuck, I'm gonna have to like get to know these songs, so I know like when the right time is to, you know, drop them."
Like what kind of rock?
Like indie rock, example? Like good stuff, but I just, it's not stuff I'm super familiar with. So you know, when like when you're DJing, you're looking at the crowd and being like, right, what do they want next? What's and so you move? Have to be like, what are those first like few beats in your head? It's kind of hard to like know if you don't know. Anyway, just a little science behind the DJ.
Yeah, what an art. I'm like, wow, DJing is so much more complex than I ever thought.
Oh, yeah. You gotta be feeling out the room. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to ask you some random questions. No wrong answers. What thing from childhood do you still enjoy to this day?
Doing gymnastics. Oh, but now it's like really bad for my body. And when I'm drunk, I always try to like do a back handspring, and I always wake up and I literally like am really in pain. And I think as I get older, this will only get presumably worse.
So wait, do you do gymnastics like at a gymnastics gym, or it's just a drunk thing?
Oh, it's just a drunk thing. Like, I do it on my lawn or someone else's lawn. And they're like, please don't do that on my lawn.
Man, but there's no there's nothing more fun than seeing someone bust out, like, gymnastics out of nowhere. So I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because it's, like, it's really funny because I'm like, I have the muscle memory, but my body is no longer actually capable of doing the movements. And it's very interesting when you, like, do something that you have the muscle memory for and then your arms just, like, collapse.
For sure.
And you're like, oh, cool.
The memory's there, but the infrastructure, not so much.
Exactly.
So were you, like, a competitive gymnast?
Yeah, like, when I was, like, young.
Okay.
And then and then I did high school gymnastics, but that was, like, so I could not do PE. That was why I did that.
So, yeah. Nice. I was like the only asshole who took regular PE because I didn't realize that sports were actually easier than PE.
Dude, PE is hard. I don't know what. Blows. I don't. Also, they like weigh you in front of other people.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Oh yeah.
At my school, they did.
Uh-huh.
I don't think
they did. Did you have to do the scoliosis test?
Someone was they did scoliosis.
Where they take off your shirt and the PE teacher runs. I think, like,
it's
like,
it's just like basically trauma. They're just like, how many weird versions of trauma can we put you through?
Mm-hmm. And it's like the age where you're just getting boobs and you're like, I don't want to take off my shirt in front of a teacher. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't need her to like feel my spine to make sure it's straight. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm
I
like,
think
please
maybe.
Don't touch me.
Also, your PE teacher is like, the least trusted teacher of all.
I'm like, literally like, I'm like, most teachers are pedophiles. I'm like, 70% of teachers, pedophiles. I'm like, why else would you teach? It doesn't pay any money. Like, this is your benefit. Like, I hate it. I hate it. I'm like, pay teachers more money so there's less pedophiles. Like,
that's a good, that's a pretty good banner.
It's a good angle.
Shout out all the teachers that are listening right now. You are the not pedophiles.
We love you.
Congratulations.
We love you.
Well, you guys should definitely be paid for sure.
Yeah, the Lord's work. The Lord's work.
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah, I did gymnastics like a little bit, but like, I think my boobs came in so early that like a lot of stuff just like, it's like gym, and then I was also on the swim team, and then just like I got like. I remember my times on swim team went down by like multiple seconds when my boobs came in because the drag.
Damn.
Yeah.
That tit deficit.
I remember just like swimming the same way. And then like I lost a race and I was like, I always beat that bitch. What's going on right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like your rack was too fat, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
it was like 100%. It was a nightmare. I was like,
well, yeah, swimming. I mean, the guys who are like serious about it don't even have leg hair.
Yeah.
So apparently every little...
Everything. Little thing counts. Apparently. I think that they just want to shave their legs, but
probably. And they always had nice legs.
Yeah,
My rack is definitely fat, and I'm trying to. I think like I'm aiming to like get new boobs in like 2 years, you know. So
love
I keep
it.
Like looking, but it's like, how do you make a decision like that? Like, how do you choose a fucking doctor? And also,
Oh, you just get some recommendations from friends.
Oh, I didn't get my boobs done with her, but I do have a rack for a doctor.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, because I was looking at Yelp, you know, I was looking like befores and afters on Yelp, and there are some just full on tit shots on Yelp also, which I was like dying laughing at.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the guy that's going to Yelp to get off. Just like, oh, yeah, I want to see the 3 months out from surgery titties.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, there was one just really unflattering, like, angle of one boob. And the caption was just like, does this look good to you? The doctor thinks it does. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Anyway, okay.
She just wants to be heard. I love it.
Okay, Dana, next question. What do you consider the best decision you've made thus far in your life?
Ooh, that's a big one.
Every breakup I've ever gone through was the best decision I've ever made. Yeah.
That's
every deal. Yeah, every time I like think about how I like didn't want to break up with someone and then I look at like my life now without them, I'm like, wow, great idea. Brilliant. Brilliant. Good one, Dana.
Especially because, like, you know, if you've ever spent, like, time in it's so hard to break up with somebody, but then when you're on the other side of it, you're like.
Yeah, you're literally, it's actually embarrassing. Like, I actually am, like, I'm like, oh my fucking God. Like, the fact that was a hard decision to make. And it, like, only made my life, like, exponentially better. I'm like, okay, that's psychotic of me.
But. Well, and, like, if you think about it, every single time you break up with the right person, you are saving yourself from a life of misery.
That's incredible. No, you're literally
saving your from a life of misery. Like, I think it's like a life of misery. God. Also, no one has ever not been better off alone than like with a shitty guy.
Oh,
in
1,000%.
Oh, yeah. Like, 5,000%. Yeah. Because it's kind of like, it's like, yeah, people are like, go out there, get out there, get out of your house. But it's like, but maybe sometimes like your house is better than like, say, the DMV. Like, there are things.
So true. So true. Yeah. So it's like your house can be whatever you make it, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Build a sanctuary for yourself. Yeah. And never let anyone in.
Honestly, no. I am happier for friends that leave bad relationships than friends that get into good relationships.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, literally, like, I'm like that. Because it's harder. It's way harder.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, it's so hard. It's just so weird, like, how, what we put ourselves through, you know. If you're in a bad relationship you want to get out of, and, like, the torture you put yourself through to get out of it eventually. And then, like I said, on the other side, you're like, oh my God, like, why the fuck didn't I do this? But, like, we just, there's so many weird tricks our brains do that, like, don't let you get there.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's, like, a lot societal, society would have you believe that, like, yeah, it's, like, better to be kind of unhappy with someone than to, like, be, like, alone. And it's, like, no, it's, like, always better to be alone. Always.
Totally.
Yeah, because, yeah. Like, even if you're in a happy relationship, you're going to be, like, stoked when you're alone. Like, yeah. It's always fun to be alone.
Yeah, hello? But I mean, you know, when you're single for a long time, and that gets real tough.
Yeah. Because the problem is, when you're single for a long time, what happens is, instead of having, I'm using a lot of metaphors today, but instead of having your fridge stocked with groceries, you're just going to 7-Eleven for every meal. And that's
Wait,
not
what
healthy.
Does this mean? What do you?
So
I don't
instead
get
of
this.
Having regular dick, you have to go get little snack dick.
Yeah.
Every meal,
yeah, snack dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just getting taquitos constantly.
But I think snack dick is like easier than like groceries sometimes.
Oh, 1,000. It's definitely easier. It's just, you know, you're the quality.
Yeah, not as satisfying. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the quality is compromised for sure.
But it gets you through.
Well, it's so interesting too, because it's like society is just like, it wants us to have like that one person that like is the relationship in your life. And that's like still relatively new too, because it's like, how many stories have you heard about like back in the day, just like women writing love letters to each other as friends, or like guys holding hands just like, and you know, because they were like best friends and like telling each other they love them and stuff. And then you have like your romantic partner too, but it's like, they're just, the level of importance has changed so much over time. It's so weird.
Yeah, I think we definitely... it's too much. You're asking for too much from one person a lot of the time.
Well, also, yeah, like we've de-emphasized the role that like community should play in like your life and your social interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Which is also 100%. Weird, because like going back to what we were talking to earlier, like we've de-emphasized the role of community at the same time that we're all expected to like have 50,000 people's thoughts in our head at the same time.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, we have too much community. We need like 20 people.
you're like, let's roll it back.
Yeah. Totally. This is why I think Golden Girls was a very revolutionary show, because I think it taught a lot of girls and anybody watching it that, like, you know, someday you can just live with four of your friends and it's going to be great.
And it's going to be fucking lit. I'm like, yeah, it's like probably way more fun to live with your friends than like some boring dude. That's also what I'm like, most guys like just like fucking blow. Like,
I know the nose hair, dealing with the nose hair and stuff like that. That's going to be, you know, just the old man of it all.
I just feel like guys, as far as like gender normative stuff, they got the more boring activities. Like,
I agree.
It's boring. Video games, watching someone play video games, that's really boring.
Yeah.
Watching, I mean, you know, I love my husband, but he bets on golf.
Woof. That was like a boring guy Mad Lib. I love it.
Okay, Dana, let's see. What is the assumption that people make about you that's totally wrong?
I don't know. I'm like, what assumptions do people make about me?
Right. That's a tough question.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't actually.
Yeah. That is weird, because that means that somebody would have to say it to you.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, if it's an assumption, I don't know that they're making it. But
yeah. Well, yeah. What are the trolls getting wrong besides your extremely expensive stove?
Well, my oven is expensive. So they're right.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do the trolls get wrong? honestly, the trolls are usually pretty right. Like, and but it's like, it's a bad faith interpretation.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like, like, oh, she's like a conceited slut, and it's like, yes, but. Yeah, like, yeah, but, like, why is that? Why is
but
that
that's, like,
so bad?
Not bad to be that.
Right. Like, exactly. Why is that so horrible?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is that hurting?
Right.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I think.
Well, yeah, they can't claim ownership.
Yeah, it's just making me realize, like, thank you for seeing that, because I'm like, oh, trolls are just people who wish they were conceited sluts.
1,000%.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like, you're literally, it is, I always think about this, but, like, when people... like don't like you a lot of times, and like sometimes they just don't like you, and that's okay. It's okay when people don't like you, but like they're like they don't like to see other people like living authentically because it reminds them of the fact that they're not living authentically. So like you being yourself is offensive and a slight to someone who is having a hard time being themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's extremely
it's kind of like
true.
That age old thing of like, you know, obviously like the most homophobic people, I don't think this is always true, but are like closeted gay people because they're jealous of people that are like living
fully
their
like,
authentic lives.
I don't drink. I never have. It's not a big fucking deal. But the people that have a problem with it have a problem with drinking.
Yeah, that's the alcoholic. My mom always talks about this, but she's like, anyone who like gives you a hard time for drinking is just an alcoholic or not drinking. Sorry, for giving gives you a hard time for not drinking. Yeah, because it's like 100%. You should be fine. Like it's like if I want to drink, I'll get a drink because I don't have a fucking alcohol problem.
Yeah, guess what? We'll hang out at a bar for a couple hours, and if you want, I'll drive you home. But if you're being a dick about it, then you won't get a free ride. Have fun.
Yeah, I always I use the word slut pretty often, like for myself and on stage and stuff. And I never, for me, it's not a negative word. Like, I
that's
like
a beautiful
who I am.
Word.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, oh, I forget that people have a negative connotation for it. And then they will feel that certain way. And I'm like, well, just because I'm more free than you, like, I feel like that's your real issue.
They can't.
Yeah. It's a like, lot.
Yeah.
With it,
Well, and like, where are we at as a people that we can't get behind? Ample fucking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, it really is like we're just like a society of like weird prudes. I do think there just is like kind of like a Puritan ideology that like just runs through American society.
Oh, 1,000%.
That's just like so fucking bizarre and like really harmful because it's also like we're the most sex obsessed, but also the most repressed, and it's so weird. And it's like obviously the repression is what leads to the obsession or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
like
crazy. Yeah, the more you tell yourself you can't do something, the more that it becomes like this like thing you really need to do.
Yeah, it's like why I don't believe in dieting, because I think you start to fixate on like the thing you can't eat.
I mean,
if you just let yourself eat whatever, it's not such a thing.
Yeah, let it go. Let it all go.
Let it go.
I know. Do you guys think that like I just keep thinking about like I don't know why I think of Germany as this really horny place. I think because someone showed me a German like the German version of Vogue once, and there were like just dicks and pussy all over it. So I just think of Germany as this very like sexual place. Do you guys are they slut shaming people in Berlin?
Of course.
I don't think so. There's like these cool sex clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In Berlin, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I think unless it's a part of their kink and that they've asked to be shamed for it.
Right. They're like, please shame me.
Yeah.
No, I think like generally it seems like, you know, most at least like European countries seem to have a much like healthier attitude towards sex.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird because they're where the religion came from. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. They also have a huge problem with racism over there. Not something we're dealing with here.
Well,
we don't. And there's no racism here.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, give and take.
Yeah. One or the other.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, we're sexually repressed, but racially perfect.
Yes, exactly. The story of Thanksgiving we were taught is completely accurate, 100%. And everything's been fine since then.
Okay. One more question. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, okay. What's your favorite perfume?
Ooh. My favorite perfume was this perfume. It's Le Labo. It's Noir 29. Is the scent of it. I cannot wear it anymore because I was wearing it while I was going through the most horrible breakup of my life.
Oh no.
And it's ruined for me. And the other day I smelled someone wearing it and I was like so traumatized. But it was. And I have not found a consistent perfume that I like since.
It's so crazy. I think scent is the most like deep rooted emotional sense.
It is.
Yeah.
I think I think it is for me at least. Yeah, like I literally, I'll smell perfumes that I've worn through the years and I can like immediately think of like 10 things that I haven't thought about since I wore that scent.
Yeah, wow. Or like you'll put on some sunscreen that you haven't worn since fifth grade. And
like sunscreen is powerful. Yeah.
Agree. Sunscreen actually makes me horny because it reminds me of being on vacation. Every time.
I totally get that. Also, it's like, I love like, yeah, when I'm putting sunscreen on my skin, it's like, I've just like usually like shaved my legs and it's like smooth. Mm-hmm. There's something very sexy about it.
Very sexy. It's tropical. Oh, wait. It's a little artificial.
Your sound. But
yeah, test.
My sound is weird?
Yeah, yeah. I went out for a second. It's weird. Like, it kind of drops out for a second sometimes. Weird. I don't know what the deal is.
Okay, I'll stay up on the mic.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, we'll take a break and do a lady problem. Be right back, everybody.
Bye.
BRB.
Hey, everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
Dana.
Me.
We're gonna do lady problems. If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com, or you can also email us. Oops. Nope. You can call us at 323-6-BUT-30. Sorry, I was looking at my computer while I was talking. Okay, here's our theme song.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Wow. Great whisper. Mm-hmm. Whisper work. Great whisper work, Tess.
Thank you.
Every time.
Thank you.
Okay. Here's a voicemail we got.
Hi. Oh my gosh, ladies. I'm such a huge fan. So thank you for being amazing. I have been listening forever. I had a really awful day to entry jobs for a while, so I listened to your whole like backlog of episodes. So thank you for keeping me sane. My lady problem is how do I break up with a fuck buddy? And I feel like fuck buddy's not even the right word. This is someone I care a lot about. We tried dating a few years ago and it didn't work. But we were friends, and then every once in a while, we would kind of slip back into the sex. And then through the pandemic, we live really close to each other, and I live alone, and I haven't touched another human being in months. So we started seeing each other, like, once a week, and it turns into this really nice thing. We'd, like, have a slumber party and watch a murder documentary, and, you know, it was very nice, but not dating. Very, very strictly sex and friendship. And now that the world is opening, I'm starting to talk to someone else and I kind of want to give that person my attention. And I don't know how to have this conversation and say, like, I care about you as a person and I very much enjoyed our time together, but I can't have sex with you anymore. How do I have this conversation?
That was a very, we've all identified with that sigh at the mm-hmm. end.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think she pretty much said it at the end. Like,
yeah, I'm yeah. sorry. She knows what she needs to do.
Yeah.
Also, like, I wouldn't worry about it because I think he's going to get it. Like, you guys have purposely yeah. kind of like, you've never become boyfriend and girlfriend. You've always been fuck buddies. The natural progression of a fuck buddy is that hopefully one of you eventually gets
is a deep progression. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, maybe you've gotten a little bit closer or something like that. And I do think that there's a certain like different heaviness maybe to stuff that was going on during the pandemic, kind of like where maybe it's like the world feels like it's fucking ending, which it still does, you know.
Yeah, but there's a little trauma bonding going on, for sure. So yeah,
so might be a little extra oomph there. But yeah, it sounds like you just need to say what you said and be like, you're cool, I'm starting to see somebody, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sooner the better, too.
Until next time.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I know. And I think the dismount is important here because you'll be back.
Yeah.
caution, though, is like avoid the temptation to just try to hang out with this guy as friends. Because no, I think that's easy. That. We're like, oh, well, we were friends with benefits. Now we don't have the benefits. We can still be friends. It don't work like that.
I would avoid it for a little while at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
If not totally.
Yeah.
I also am all for, like, I'm like, do you really need some man in your life? Get, like, some random man? Like, I'm like, that's, like, my thing. I'm like, if you're not having sex with a man, he has to be such a good friend to right. make it worth it. And, like, so few men are, like, in my experience.
No, I'm sure you have plenty yeah. of people you can yeah. fucking watch true crime shit with.
Totally. Get a dog.
Yeah, exactly. Get a yeah. dog. Yeah, like...
No, yeah, it's like that's the that's like what your guys' role in each other's life is, and you don't need that right now. And you know, it opens him up to go find other fuck buddy whatnots too.
Yeah. So I think that's literally. I think it's a text message, right? Or is this a phone call?
I mean, it depends how close that you feel. I think it's like if your instinct is phone call. But if your instinct is that it's okay to text. I'm like, I always think about like, what would I be comfortable with? Like, if this person wanted to say this to me, mm-hmm. would I want a text or would I want a phone call? And in this case, I probably would want a text, but I don't know.
You know, that's a good point because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, this should be a call because it's a bigger deal. But sometimes like the call is actually way more unpleasant than just reading some information and throwing your phone away.
Yeah. Yeah, because then there's a moment for you to respond and you're like, I am on the spot and don't know what to say yeah. right now versus like right. a text you have a minute to like, gather your thoughts and if you even want to say anything back or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's yeah. true. It's not kind of like out of nowhere you have a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Also, like, it's never good to hear, so it doesn't really matter how you hear it, I think, sometimes.
That's true. Like, that's I think thing, that's it's like, some, there's just never good timing for that kind of shit. It's like, it mm-hmm. just has to happen, you know?
Yeah. It's And it's mm-hmm. gonna hurt and it's gonna suck, and that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. People get really hung up on timing, and it's like timing's never good for anything. Unless you're literally doing it like their fucking friend's wedding or something. That's obviously not the right time. But
oh, I totally broke up with a long-term boyfriend.
But that is also when big shit happens because all emotions run high.
Emotions
you know that
are high.
That makes sense mm-hmm. too because like you know it's so hard to make those to get that shit out.
Yeah, and like learn from me. Don't put something off so long that eventually you do it at your friend's wedding.
Yeah, that's the idea to not do.
Yeah
exactly.
But so quick, do it before your friend gets married.
Oh my god, exactly.
So yeah. I say to this person,
if you have a friend getting married yeah. do it before that.
Yes.
Let's see, I think we have time for one more. Let me
let's do it.
This summer camp one, and it actually isn't that old, so I think we can do this one.
Okay, let's do okay. it.
Hey ladies, this is the girl who called in about the moving boss is a jackass situation. I left you like an update that I found a new camp. And part of this update includes that I think I'm in love with my coworker. And him and I have been like going on dates. Like we go on walks. I went and got a puppy with him. We are planning like a camping trip together. We like, he came over and played this Pac-Man arcade game I have. And I think I'm in love with him. Like he's my favorite person. I just want to spend all my time with him, but we are both non-confrontational. We both don't like to talk about our feelings. And I am like very vocal that I don't like physical touch, but I'm like, at this point, I'm like, grab my ass. Please, like, kiss my face, like, smooch whatever you want, like, let's have a frantic makeout session. But he is, like, my direct coworker. Like, we do everything together, and I think we're both, like, a little bit scared to, like, ruin our friendship, but also to, like, have a relationship, slash, to also work together, slash, to say anything. And all of our coworkers, I think, like, kind of know. I don't know. Like, what do I do? Do I kiss his face? Do I let it, do I ride it out? Do I tell him that I love him? I probably wouldn't say I love you because weird, but trying to keep it normal. Okay, help. Bye.
I mean, fun. This sounds very fun.
Sounds very fun.
Yeah.
This is the best kind. Like, this stage of a relationship, in my opinion, is one of the most fun. And it is like, you know, obviously like the will you won't you like tension is kind of like what keeps it fun. I've been in kind of a similar situation, but I don't know. Okay, this isn't like coworkers because it's like open mic comedy. Like that's the workplace that I'm talking about.
Right.
But yeah, like I had like a very like long drawn out like friendship with a fellow open mic comedian. Mm-hmm. And we eventually did get together. And I think like, honestly, it's like if you guys get along this well, even if you're coworkers, I think it's fine.
So, I 100% agree. Because you can always get a new – jobs are like guys. There's always more of them.
No, I mean, it's rare to
find
someone.
There are more jobs
someone.
Than guys. I do think that that's true. There are more jobs than guys. And I really believe that.
I think it's very rare to find someone you like to hang out with this much. But, you know, you're also in crush phase. So
– for sure.
That's great. And I would just like – just write it out as long as you can because, A, it's fun. Yeah. To do that, you know, there's only so long that those butterfly moments last, and like, and B, just see if it is this just a crush or is there more potential there, you know, like I would but you're probably not gonna find that out until you fucking kiss him anyway, so
well, like, you're also like, you're working in a closed off environment. It's like it's nice to have a work crush. It makes the time pass better. It's the person you're getting along with. I will also say he is also respecting your choices because you said you made it a point to be very vocal about how you do not like touch. So
right. I actually love
he's
that.
Respecting what you said. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to kiss you or do any of that stuff if he actually, you know, is following what you were telling him to do.
And she's in the position now to make the first move, which is a great position to be in.
It is and it's not, though. I mean, like, oh, it's just so because as someone who, man, being rejected when you try and make the first move, that is quite the situation to be in, and I've been there. I have read those signs incorrectly, and then I've said, will you give me a ride home? Well, do you want to make out? And they've been like, no.
Oh no.
It's happened more than once. This was not like a long time flirtation. This was like, you know, one night or something like that. So yeah, putting it out there is tough, so you have to just like deal with the fact that that could happen. But I feel like, yeah, you're in a great place. Just let it go and, like, see what happens. I don't know if what you guys have been doing are dates, necessarily. It does sound like hanging out more.
Yeah, it's definitely hanging out. I think it's, like, clearly it's, like, you're projecting the date vibe onto it, which is fine, But, like, okay, I would say if you are worried about, like, potential rejection, sooner is better than later because it's, like, I literally think, like, with these kind of situations, although it's fun to, like, let it play out, I think sometimes once you start to feel like, should I do something, the sooner you do it, the better. Because the longer that you wait, if you get rejected, it will hurt so
much
more.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I would say it sounds like you're ready to make a move.
Yeah. And I don't think you're going to get rejected. It does sound like he's up to you.
It sounds like he's down. Yeah. It sounds like he likes you.
I mean, lest we forget, they got a puppy together. He's going to reciprocate.
I mean, they didn't get a
puppy
together.
They're not owning it together.
I know, but
she
like,
got
with
a puppy
her to get
and
it.
She went with him.
Yeah. I mean, this could be like an emotional girlfriend situation too. I mean, I think we've all been there with like a person where it's like, oh, we're going to do all the emotional things, but I'm also not like into you beyond that.
Oh, no. They've always wanted to fuck. I haven't had that. I haven't had that situation. Usually they want to fuck.
I have. I think it's inevitable. Have fun. I think I'd be surprised if these people haven't already made out.
I love this journey. Yeah, she did leave it for us a minute ago, so she called us and she had like gotten into a summer camp and then didn't know what to do because they weren't like responding to her or anything. She wasn't sure, and then she ended up getting into a really cool one. And now she's here. So
With the love
also,
of her life.
Aren't summer camps are like a finite job too? So it's like if nothing happens, maybe like the dance at the end of the last day or something, you know.
Dirty dancing.
After time goes on, and then, you know, you start making out to Cyndi Lauper and see what happens from there.
I was watching that show The Other Two last night, and like a teacher met one of the other characters like who was at a dance, and they started kissing, and I was like, I would be really weirded out if my teacher started making out with someone at my dance. I don't know.
Oh, that's inappropriate.
Yeah, felt very odd. I was like,
dude,
I don't know about this.
But get this. When I was in junior high, I was like the pariah of my junior high because I was the class clown. And I got suspended prior by the teachers. The kids love me. I was always putting on a show. But I was suspended like multiple times every year. I didn't even get to participate in the graduation ceremony because I just was constantly in the principal's office. But because I spent so much time in the principal's office, I picked up, I swear, I was like 14 years old and I was like, the assistant principal is fucking the principal. I knew it. I was like, Ms. Balarama is fucking whatever the, I forget the principal's name. Lo and behold, a year after I left that junior high, the principal's marriage fell apart because he was having an affair with the vice principal who was making my life miserable. So I was just like this little bitter kid just watching this adult affair go down. He kept his snacks in her office fridge. I was like, they're fucking.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, here's my thing. If you're having like a fun little secret affair, why do you also have to torture a student?
Thank you.
Thank like, you. Don't you have enough joy in your life? You psych sick freak.
It's like the shit you guys are doing, you're gonna have actual consequences on people, right. Not just like fucking around.
I just did a little jig behind the social studies teacher. Fuck off.
Yeah. Relax.
Oh my god. Well, we solved two, we changed two people's lives today, guys. I think we solved.
Feels good. All before 11 a.m.
Actually, three people's because now I realize that I want to get a new oven.
Oh, shit.
Recommendations?
You'll never cry again.
Dana, thank you so much for hanging out. It was great to.
Oh my god, yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Tell everybody where they can find you online and where they can find your show and all that stuff.
You can find me online, Instagram, Hottest Dana. Twitter is Dana Donnelly. You can follow me on TikTok, Hottest Dana. What else? Oh, I have a show. When's it coming out? It's coming out in November. I have a show first Sundays of every month at the Hotel Cafe called Funnelingus. And it is women, ladies, no men. It's everyone but men. That's my comedy show. So if you like comedians who aren't men, you should come to my show. That's all.
Fuck yeah.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, lady to lady. I actually just started listening. My name is Andy. I'm from Michigan. And you were talking about Encino Man and being like super attracted to Pauly Shore at the time. Well, I have a story for you that I think you might find very interesting. I had a friend who went to a convention where Pauly Shore was, and as he was asking the crowd questions, she said, she stood up and she said, will you go on a date with me? And he said, yes. She was not expecting him to say yes. They ended up going out. They talked about a bunch of personal stuff, you know, like really, you know, like got along, and they ended the night by her giving him a blowjob. So, this is a shout out to my friend. I'm not going to say her name for privacy reasons, but, I was insanely proud of her, and I also kind of laughed a little bit because how in the world? So that's my, or well, my friend's Pauly Shore story that I thought you guys might like to hear. Thanks and have a great day.
Hi ladies. This is the lady who called a while ago, about my struggle with addiction to nicotine, cigarettes and vaping, and I gotta say, your advice was really great, and I ended up talking about it with a therapist as well, which I've never actually tried therapy before, so I was giving it the good college try and actually being honest about what was going on in my life and my struggle with this addiction, and she actually had a pretty similar thing to say as tested, which was just don't, like, totally beat myself up if I have a slip up and it does happen. Just and kind of enjoy it and move on and not use it as my only coping mechanism. And, you know, if I am out one night having some drinks, not feeling bad if I have one cigarette. So that's kind of the approach I've taken, and it's been working so far. I think I've had one cigarette in the past, like, 4 months on a night out, and just really trying to rely on other things like working out. That's the other thing. Like, I feel like smoking was really hindering my workouts. So that was
some more motivation to not use it all the time. So yeah, working out has been a really great outlet for that. So thank you so much for your advice. You guys are super amazing, and I'm so thankful that you're doing this podcast, and yeah, I love you so much.
Chuck testicle fighting in West Hollywood on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Red testicles on a white Chevy Colorado. Thanks for all the laughs, ladies.